Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Well, if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to a familiar passage of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes and chapter number 12, the last chapter in the book of Ecclesiastes. We're currently in a Sunday school series dealing with the Christian home, understanding that every home or every Christian needs to have three homes. They need to know, first of all, their heavenly home. Do they know for sure where they would be going? And the Bible says that they can. That every Christian needs to be a part of a good church home where they can grow and get the benefits of fellowship and getting the strength to continue to go on one more day, one more step, continue to follow after Him. And then every Christian also needs to have a good physical home, not where saved people reside together, but where Christ is the center and the purpose of the home, and it changes everything. That every person needs to have these three homes, and this Sunday school series has been giving a reminder. Now, we talked about the Christian home, we've talked about the church home, but now we've been finishing up these last several messages dealing with our heavenly home and being prepared for it. We now find our way to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 12. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 12, and notice with me in verse number 1. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day where the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out the windows be darkened. And the doors shall be shut in the street, and the sound of grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and the desire shall fail, because men goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." And notice, if you don't mind, at the very end of verse number 7, where it deals with this idea that the spirit shall return unto God. And with this, we see of our day of departure. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon is looking back at life. He is an old man, and he's giving an honest accounting of what he sees. And now, as he's preparing for the conclusion of the whole matter, he then takes a look at him as an old man and looks at other people who are more senior saints. And he's giving some observations about life and universe and people at this time. And he's giving this idea that we need to be prepared for what is to come. The Bible speaks quite a bit about this. The book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 27 says that it is appointed unto men once to die. Unless the rapture happens, all of us have an appointment with death. It's unavoidable. You're not getting out of this place alive. All of us have that appointment where we are going to die. But before that time, we need to prepare for it. First of all, we need to know for sure that we know Jesus Christ is our personal Savior. But then, what have we done with the life that God has given to us? Without a doubt, as the Bible says, the Spirit shall return unto God. We're going to go back and we're going to go meet our God. We're going to give an account of our lives. It is appropriate that in the book of Ecclesiastes, which is a sermon about life, that the preacher brings us to think about death in this chapter. God desires for us to think about our day of departure and then being with him and preparing for this time. If you don't mind, the first thing we'd like to bring to your attention here is the potential of the present. The potential of the present. Notice with me in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Remember now. Notice that word now. Now is the appointed time. Now is the acceptable time. Now is what we have to use. You cannot do anything about yesterday. That's gone. And you can't borrow from tomorrow. The only time that you have to use is now. Now you need to do something for the Lord. Now you need to think about what's going to happen. Now you need to make plans. Now. There are so many people who will put off serving God. Well, I'll serve God when I retire. Isn't it interesting? A lot of those folks end up never retiring. They always got something to do. I'll serve God later when this situation comes up. I'll serve God when this is fulfilled. I'll serve God later. And they miss those opportunities. Now is what we have to use. Now is the only time that we have guaranteed to be able to do something. Tomorrow is no guarantee. Tomorrow is a potential, but we have no guarantee. Now is when we need to do something. Now's when we have to make it account. Notice again in verse 1. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the days, evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Here it's dealing with the idea, now's the time to make your life count. Because if you don't, the older you get and the more that eternity begins to loom larger, the more that you'll start looking at your life with regret. I woulda, shoulda, coulda. I could have done something better. I should have used more of my time. I should have done more. I should have done more. Even people who were used of the Lord. For example, Dr. Lee Robertson, who was used in a special way to train thousands of preachers and missionaries. A preacher who for years encouraged other preachers to follow after God. Towards the end of his life, and I'm glad that I had the privilege to be able to be with him a little bit towards the end of his life, but Pastor Sexton was riding along with him, and he noticed, in fact, I think it was his wife's funeral, Lee Robertson's funeral, wife's funeral, and as Pastor Sexton was driving Dr. Robertson away from the funeral, he noticed that Dr. Robertson was looking out the window very reflective, and he says, what are you thinking about? And Dr. Robertson said, I should have done more. I was thinking about my life, and I said, I was thinking about I should have prayed more, and I should have trusted God more. I should have read my Bible more. Pastor Sexton said, but Dr. Robertson, you've done this, and you set up the schools, and you did this training, and you did all of this. And he says, none of that, none of that. I should have read my Bible more. I should have prayed more. I should have trusted God for more. Think about that. Someone who is mightily used of God, when looking over at eternity, I should have read my Bible more. I should have prayed more. I should have trusted God for more. You know, it's those basics that end up making life worth living. Many of you know that in my office, and I have a duplicate at home just in case, but I have three jars. In the middle jar, it has an approximate number of days that I have left, and I hope I'm being generous. I hope that I have to refill that one day, but I put a guess of how many days I might have left. On one side, I have a blue jar, and the other side, I have a red jar. The Bible says in Psalm 90, verse 12, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. The way that we live our life is not by year by year. We live our life day by day. And just like a child who's making a necklace out of Fruit Loops, they put it on one Fruit Loop at a time until they string together an entire necklace. Well, that's how our life is lived. We put together a day, a day, a day, until we come up with a string of days. Well, those two jars, I have a blue jar that if I use my day wisely, I put it in the blue jar. If I waste my days, if I was disobedient to the Lord, if I was foolish, then I would take one of those pellets and put it in the red jar. And the idea is that how do I gauge whether I have a life worth living? What did I do with my days? If you can imagine a necklace that if you string enough bad days together, you have a necklace with a wasted life. Bad days. Now, we can't do anything about the past. All we could do is use our days that we have now and use them wisely. This is what this passage is speaking about, and so many passages throughout the Bible is making this idea. Now is the time that we have to serve. What are we going to do with our days now? And again, to think of Dr. Lee Robertson at the end of his life, someone mightily used of God. I should have read my Bible more. I should have prayed more. I should have trusted God for more. You know, as a younger Christian who says, I feel like I got plenty of time, those three things don't seem that important. I mean, they're important. I got to check them off. But to think about, I should have read my Bible more. I should have prayed more. I should have trusted God for more. How many Christians can't even do those basic things? And then they look back in their life and said, I wasted so much time I could have done because letting God have use of my life. Many people miss the golden moments that God gives them to live. Christ says in Matthew 6:34, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, meaning that we have enough problems to deal with. We need to take advantage of the time that we have now. Don't waste your today's worrying about tomorrow's. Use life now. Enjoy the journey. Allow God to string together a list of good days that you said, my life was worth living. It wasn't wasted time. We know that we have a small amount of time. For those of us who are getting older, and now I'm throwing myself in the older crowd rather than the younger crowd, our health problems came a lot quicker than we expected them to come. Yes. Our aches and our pains came a lot sooner than we were planning for them to come. Our waking up in the morning and hearing snap, crackle, pop, and it's not in the breakfast bowl came a lot sooner than what we were expecting them to. And the rest of the deterioration of life is still going to come a lot sooner than what we expected. Now is the time to do something with our lives. Now is the time to be effective. Now, as it continues to go on, notice again in verse 1, remember now the days of thy Creator and the days of thy youth when we have strength and life and vitality. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh. Meaning, we need to use it because we've got plenty of bad things on the horizon. We need to use the time that we have now to use it wisely. When thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, why the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. Meaning it's giving a picture that we've had plenty of good days and we end up wasting those good days. When the dark times come, then it's hard to get motivated to do what's right because we don't have the habit of doing what's right and doing what we should. Starting in verse number 3, we could see something else, the passing of the years. Now, Ecclesiastes is a poetical book, and Solomon loved words, and he waxed eloquently here. Here he describes what old people are like. Some of you might be able to catch some of these poetical phrases. Notice here as we walk through here and see these different pictures of growing old. Verse 3, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. The idea of the keepers of the house is our hands. Our hands is what keeps our house together. I was just walking through this morning and saying, repair, 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 repair. You know, your house is probably the same way, right? There's a lot of things that need to be fixed and need to be updated. And even if it's just a little bit of a touch up, those things. Well, the keepers of the house one day are going to shake. They're going to tremble. It's hard to get a hammer straight when you're trembling. when our hands start shaking and trembling, then we lose the ability to get the work done. The keepers of the house, that they shall tremble. And the strong men shall bow themselves. The strong men are your legs. Your legs keep your entire body up. You may not think about them until your legs don't work and realize how much they are holding up. They help you to walk. They balance you out. And one day when your legs start giving out, it messes everything up. There's more than enough of us in here that walk with a limp. There are more than enough of us who, when people aren't looking, we get a cane. There's more than enough of us in here who have those days when we just kind of lean up against the wall and we'll look strong as long as we're leaning up on a wall or on someone else. Our legs start getting to the play. I just feel like I'm teaching all the old people now. That our legs, the strong men, and one day they're going to bow themselves. They're going to give out. They're not going to want to be straight to hold up the rest of the foundation. Notice this. Some of you might relate to this. Verse 3. And the day where the keepers of the house shall tremble, the strong men shall bow themselves. And the grinders cease because they're few. Your grinders are your teeth. There's more than enough of us that have had to change our food diet because the grinders aren't there. We no longer get to enjoy that nice steak we have to puree it sometimes. We get to the place where we get the soft meats. You don't want the hard rolls. I'm at the place where I just don't like apples anymore. Just that. You start to be very aware of the grinders that's there. And if you got holes somewhere, then how easy it is to get food in between the grinders. People are like, I'm not smiling anymore today. But we all relate. We have the issues where the grinders are getting to the place where they cease because they're few. And we even change the way we have to think about it. When we're young, we'd eat anything. Piece of metal, no problem. You know, ever remember the cartoons where they would take the gold coin just to see if they could bend it? And as an older person, no, I don't think I want to do that. But you know, younger people, no problem. They don't think about that. You know, that's why younger people, you're trying to get them to brush their teeth. Older people were like, brush your teeth, please, for the love of God, please. We're trying to help you. Keep them in your face. But we realize when things start getting older, we start falling apart. Our hands tremble. Our legs don't there. The grinders are few, so we stop using them like we used to. And those that look out the windows be darkened. Well, what's the windows? It's what we see out of. That as you get older, things are not as clear anymore. We start changing prescription of glasses over and over and over. You get the trifocals, the bifocals, you get the shades that allow you to see in the day and the shades that allow you to see at night. We're thankful that we live in good technology where we have these things, but I would be useless if without my glasses. I was talking to my kids the other day that they're sitting on the couch and I took my glasses off and I see blobs. I don't even see eyeballs. They're just you know, flesh blobs. Our eyes just start falling apart on us. They're less reliable. The windows start getting darker. You start adding cataracts. You start adding other things start getting in there that start affecting vision. And it becomes a big deal. It affects how you live your life. If you can't see, things become very... I heard of an old chef who just thought she could do everything by memory, but she lost her eyesight and started using the wrong ingredients in there just because she assumed it was the right one. Couldn't see. It messes everything up. Affects how we do things. Notice as it goes on. Then it says, verse 4, and the doors shall be shut in the street when the sound of grinding is low. Here it talks about what is the doors that should be shut and the sound. Our hearing starts to go. Good. I provoke my kids a lot, but I really think they think I'm deaf. They're like, Dad, you need to get your ears checked now too. I'm playing with them still. But we get to the place where our hearing is no longer on par. You know, have you ever been to an older person's place where they have the TV or the radio playing at like the highest decibels? And to them, it's normal because that's what they need to hear it. And the young people's like, it's way too loud. The idea is that our hearing starts to falter. We stop hearing things as well. Notice as it goes on, and he shall rise up with the voice of the bird. Something about old people, they wake up early. That's why they eat supper at 2 p.m. I mean, it's a good time for restaurants, but, you know, they wake up earlier. Their sleeping schedule's off. They go to sleep like at 8, 7. Some of you people are saying amen. Things change up, but you could wake up fairly early. It doesn't take much for something to wake you up. Your sleep is going low too. And so even our patterns wake. No longer are the days of teenagers where they could sleep 24 hours a day. We were all staring at you for a while. Yeah. Good. Good. And then it says that all the daughters of music shall be brought low. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and the fear shall be in the way. Now, older folks, we don't like ladders as much as we used to. To go change a light, that's a young person's job. I meant, do the ladders expect the knees to, that's a long way down. Whereas a young person, like, I don't see, they just run up there, turn it. I remember those days where you had no fear of heights at all. And now you're just looking at a couple steps and going, okay, we could do this. I mean, you start to be a lot more concerned about safety. Oh, I can't do this. There's no railings. I need a railing to go down. We start looking for those safety things, whereas young people, they never use railings up and down. And man, I'm sounding like an old person today. But you know, things change. A fear of heights. We become very, very concerned. We all walk in ice differently than young people. Wisconsin, it changes everything. As we get older, we begin to realize how frail life is. We feel it and we see it. Everything about it. Then notice this poetical statement where it speaks about verse number 5, and when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be out of the way, and the almond tree shall flourish. You're like, what in the world's this? The almond tree is a tree that had very silver color in when it's bearing fruit. It pictures the graying of the hair. That's, again, modern technology. Some of us can't tell how old some people are because of the extra flavoring that we put into the hair. But the idea that after a while it's going to fall, turn gray or fall out. That it's part of the natural aging that our hair changes color. It's no longer as vibrant as we once were, colorful as it once were. That's part of the aging that occurs. And then notice as it goes on, and it says, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and the desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about in the streets. Mourners would cry out in the streets when someone was about to die. That's how they used to do it. So they wouldn't wait till someone to die. They would actually hire people. This was their full-time job. They would get paid to go outside someone's house and cry and wail when someone is about ready to die, just to announce to everyone that death was approaching. Aren't you glad we don't do that today? And to have those mourners go out there to let them know that time is short, that they're going to pass at any time. They didn't call hospice. They called the mourners. They just prepared for it and announced it. And could you imagine hearing one of your neighbors and hear the mourners outside of your neighbors and knowing that they had a small amount of time? That was it. It'd be an eerie feeling. It'd be more eerie if we cared at that state to hear the mourners crying for us. An announcement that time is short. All of us have a lot less time than what we expect. All of us are closer to passing than what we really hope we are. That means that we need to use our time wisely. Now is the time to serve the Creator. Which brings us to the last thing here, preparations for eternity. Preparations for eternity. Notice with me verse 6. Or ever the silver cord be loosed. And this silver cord is a picture of us hanging on to life. And one day that silver cord is going to be cut. And we're going to be brought to the Lord. The golden bowl shall be broken. Again, all of these are images. Or the pitcher be broken at the fountain. Or the wheel broken at the cistern. All of these are pictures of life. And one day they're going to be broken. Our life will be over. We're going to be cut. We're going to be immediately somewhere forever. Now's the time to know Christ is our Savior. So when those things break, our life is cut short, we are going to be with the Lord because we've already secured eternity now by knowing Jesus Christ is our personal Savior. Now, beyond that, the greatest thing we could do is live our lives for God now. So when we face Him, we have a life that's worth living, a life that's worth the account, realizing that now is the time to use it for the Lord. Notice again, it says in verse 7, then shall the dust return to earth as it was, and the Spirit shall return unto God who shall give it. We're going to stand before God and give an account of the life that He gave us to live. Did we use it wisely? Did we use it to its fullest effect? Did we waste it? Did we set it aside? Did we just let it pass? Did we do nothing with it? These are considerations that we need to have, knowing that our day of departure is at hand. Everyone has an appointment with death. Every single one of us will stand before the Lord and give an account. What did we do with the life that was given to us? Do we know for sure that Jesus is our Savior? That's the very first thing that has to be nailed down. But after that, what have you done with the days that God has given to you? How do I know that I have a life worth living? What did you do with those days that you had available? Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.